Thousands of state, county, and local governments have won more than $50 billion in settlements from pharmaceutical companies, prescription drug distributors, and pharmacies for their role in the opioid crisis. But now these governments face the daunting task of directing those dollars to stem this public health epidemic that has killed more than 500,000 people. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. Producer Alex Olgan joins me to tell us how these dollars are forcing officials to reckon with long-held beliefs and judgments about addiction. So, Alex, first question. Can governments spend this money any way they want?
No, is the short answer. There are limits, but they're pretty modest. There are several settlements, Dan, but let's just focus on the biggest one, a $26 billion deal between 46 states and Johnson & Johnson and three prescription drug distributors, AmerisourceBergen, Cardinal Health, and McKesson. 85% of dollars have to go to programs that help prevent opioid abuse or help those already struggling with addiction.
And Alex, I know it's early days, but how are states and local governments actually spending this cash?
So big picture, it breaks up into two camps. You've got states like Louisiana that have decided to send 20% of their money to sheriff's departments. Then you've got Rhode Island, which is planning to devote a good chunk to treatment and housing supports for people who use opioids, as well as programs that focus on keeping people safe and alive, a philosophy known as harm reduction.
So it sounds like two divergent views, addiction as crime, addiction as illness. Now, we've wrestled with this opioid epidemic for at least 20 years, Alex. Does one approach have more evidence than the other?
Well, treatment and harm reduction approaches certainly do. Dozens of papers show prescribing medications like methadone and buprenorphine along with therapy reduce the likelihood of overdoses. The drug naloxone has reversed an estimated 200,000 overdoses. And giving people clean needles has been shown over the last 30 years to be cost-effective, reduce the chances of getting HIV and hepatitis C, and increase the likelihood that someone will enter treatment.
And what about that other camp, Alex, addressing this as a law enforcement issue?
The U.S. government has pursued the war on drugs for about 40 years, arresting, prosecuting, and imprisoning people. Today, about half of federal inmates are incarcerated on drug charges. But reviews show this approach has not led to lower rates of drug use, arrests, or overdose deaths.
We started this conversation, Alex, by you telling us that there are only modest checks on how this money is spent. I'm guessing that leaves some of the people who study opioid addiction nervous.
Yeah, Dan, it does. 3,000 communities will receive some of this $50 billion over the next 18 years. And people who will decide how to spend the money often are not experts, researchers, or clinicians. Will they look at the evidence? How much will their personal and moral views on drug use dictate these decisions? Those are big questions as checks start getting cut and something to keep an eye on.
Trade-Offs producer Alex Olgan, thank you. To hear more about how state and local officials are spending opioid settlement dollars, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.